those stores across the country.
Good morning. Welcome to Radio Activity. I'm Rob Loray. Well, today we're going to open up the phone lines and take your phone calls about the many things that are in the news these days. And we can talk about what most concerns you. And when we do that, our phone number is 813-239-9663. First, one listener comment that came in. This person wanted to tell us about an event coming up this weekend.
Hi, this is a message about the upcoming December 17th event. A local sex workers' rights organization is having a cabaret fundraiser in honor of International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers. December 17th, 8 p.m. at the Mermaid Tavern in Seminole Heights. There will be a burlesque show, a documentary film, a sexy storytelling open mic, and all proceeds of happy hour priced drinks will go to benefit community education and harm reduction for sex worker rights in the community. Tampa will be joining more than 20 other cities in the United States and 40 cities internationally to recognize this International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers. Known as December 17th, the event originated as a response to the sentencing of Gary Ridgway, who confessed to murdering more than 70 women over two decades. Again, that's the Sex Worker Rights Cabaret Fundraiser, December 17th, 8 p.m. at Mermaid Tavern in Seminole Heights, 6719 North Nebraska Avenue, Tampa, Florida. For details, go to swoptampabay.org or call Professor Jill McCracken at 512-415-0603.
Well, that's a listener comment that came in yesterday, and that topic is actually going to be covered this coming Wednesday here on WMNF on Radioactivity. Well, we're going to talk about some of the big items in the news and get the sense of what you think about them. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Yesterday, the Federal Communications Commission in Washington voted 3-2 to end what's called net neutrality. And that has sparked quite a lot of controversy and conversation. The head of the FCC, who is a Republican now, when there's a Republican president, Republicans get to control the FCC. When and if Democrats are elected president, or a Democrat is elected president, then the Democrats get to control of the FCC. But in this case, Ajit Pai is a Republican, and he spearheaded net neutrality. And we're going to talk a little bit about that right now. We're going to hear three items. First, Ajit Pai, the head of the FCC, says that there really is nothing to worry about. And in fact, he produced a video this week that shows him dancing and wearing costumes, saying that there is nothing to fear from net neutrality. Now, in this video that we're about to play, the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission appears along with a woman who has been accused of pushing the Pizzagate conspiracy theory that everybody by now knows is false. Ajit Pai campaigned to repeal the Obama-era net neutrality policy, which prevents internet service providers from controlling the speed at which some websites load. Repealing net neutrality is widely seen as good for corporations and bad for consumers. Now, here's the head of the FCC kind of making fun of the consumer position yesterday in a video that's posted on the internet, and he's backed up by several actors and people that are pantomiming with him. Let's listen to the video that the head of the FCC made yesterday. All right. So, well, my version of that video has been taken down from the internet. So I'm going to find another version of it. So stick around. Now, several politicians are really concerned about the repeal of net neutrality. One of those is the Democratic senator from Florida, Bill Nelson. This is what he said yesterday.
On Thursday, the Federal Communications Commission voted 3-2 to end net neutrality. Florida Senator Bill Nelson says that means they voted to allow internet service providers like AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon to charge more for faster speeds and slower block access to certain websites.
The Republican-led FCC just turned its back on consumers. By voting to give internet providers the ability to decide what websites their customers will see, how fast they'll see them, and how much they're going to have to pay, the FCC just ended the internet as we know it.
Meanwhile, Florida's U.S. Republican Senator Marco Rubio has never liked the Obama-era rules, calling net neutrality an unnecessary regulation of the internet. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Sasha Kortner.
All right, so that's Bill Nelson's position on net neutrality. Let's try to get Ajit Pai's video up. This is the video that he entitled, Seven Things You Can Still Do on the Internet After Net Neutrality.
Hi, I'm Ajit Pai. I'm the chairman of the FCC. Recently, there's been quite a bit of conversation about my plan to restore internet freedom. Here are just a few of the things you'll still be able to do on the internet after these Obama-era regulations are repealed. You can still gram your food. And quality. Brought a real selfie, or just... You can still post photos of cute animals, like puppies. You can still shop for all your Christmas presents online. Yes, got that bulk deal on fidget spinners. Yes, those eclipse glasses are so cheap. You can still binge watch your favorite shows. You can still stay part of your favorite fan community. You can still drive memes right into the ground.
And do the Harlem
All right, so that's the commissioner of the FCC in a video that appeared yesterday making fun of people being concerned about net neutrality. The FCC commissioner, Ajit Pai, holding a fidget spinner, dressed in a Santa Claus suit and a Santa hat, and holding a lightsaber, and putting on a pair of rectangular sunglasses. And the video is entitled, Seven Things You Can Still Do on the Internet After Net Neutrality. He suggested that the Obama-era net neutrality rules were oppressive. And what do you think about that? 813-239-9663. Now, attorneys general from around the country, not our attorney general here in the state of Florida, Pam Bondi, but others are planning maybe to file a lawsuit against the FCC to stop the elimination of net neutrality.
Hi, this is a message about...
New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman says he'll lead a multi-state lawsuit against the Federal Communications Commission decision to roll back net neutrality rules. Schneiderman says in a statement, the change will give internet service providers a license to overcharge for web content.
Even worse, today's vote would enable ISPs to favor certain viewpoints over others.
The new rules will allow companies like Verizon and Comcast to block or slow down content from competitors or to make customers pay more for it. Proponents claim the net will flourish with less regulation. Warren Levinson, New York.
All right, so let's take some phone calls about that. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. One of the other issues that's come out is that Florida's Republican Senator Marco Rubio may be a defector over the tax credit for low-income parents, may be a defector from the Republican effort to push that tax package through the Senate. But it's not sure that Rubio is going to vote against the tax package. His problem with it is that he wants the House and Senate to expand the tax credit that low-income Americans can claim for their children. And that puts the Republicans' razor-thin margin in the Senate closer to the edge. They only have two votes to spare. Democrats are within reach of blocking the tax plan. Republicans can lose two votes. Senators Rubio, Lee, and Corker have said that they're on the fence, and two Republicans are in the hospital, John McCain from Arizona and also Thad Corcoran from Mississippi. So that could be a problem. Yesterday, there was a real tense exchange in Washington as the conference committee was discussing whether or not the tax package should move forward. And we're going to hear from a variety of members of the House and Senate who are on the conference committee who either support or oppose the tax plan. Let's listen in to what happened yesterday in Washington. Okay, we're going to skip the commercial that's in front of this. Let's listen in.
Above all, it makes clear that America's new tax code will be simple, fair, and focused on helping the American people.
It's a charade that when we're having a conference committee to discuss a tax bill that has already been written.
The American people are witnessing a masterclass in how one political party, relying on secrecy, distortion, and brute force, can muscle an unpopular, deficit-exploding corporate giveaway to passage.
That's Ron Wyden.
This is indeed a mockery.
This is Sandra Levin of Michigan.
It's difficult not to feel like a prop here.
Raul Grove of
this has
Arizona.
Been predestined and decided already.
I would respectfully move that the conference committee stand adjourned.
Thank you. That motion is not available. We will resume.
Mr. Chairman, appeal the ruling of the chair.
So that motion is also not available.
All right.
So let me go back over the committee rules.
Well, what are the committee rules other than we do whatever you want? I would just remind you, this is the United States Congress, not the Duma.
Under the rules of the conference committee, when the committee report is filed, the public and members will have full opportunity to examine that conference committee report, and then under the regular process, they have a vote in the House and the Senate.
We
I anticipate the conference committee will file its report at the end of this week.
But I'm proud of what we've been able to do to simplify the code, to reduce rates, and to make America more competitive.
Well, that was a variety of voices, including Kevin Brady, who's a Republican, who was the chair of that conference committee, and Lloyd Doggett, who is a Democrat from Texas, and having a little bit of a dust-up there at the very end. Still, we haven't seen the contents of that tax bill, but it looks like some controversial provisions may have been taken out, including the effort to allow churches to take sides in elections and take money for doing so. That that idea may be out, according to Ron Wyden of Oregon, a Democrat. So we can talk about that, too. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Laverne, who's in Bradenton. Hi, Laverne. You're on WMNF. What would you like to comment about so far?
Yes, good morning. I just would like to say concerning the net that, you know, we don't have much money as middle class citizens, but we do need information concerning the news. I've heard a lot of stuff about what they're going to be providing free, but it has nothing to do with information. We are not ignorant. We need to know what's going on in the Senate, and we need to know what's going on in Congress. And all of the joke, it's no fun and games. We need to know. The American people has a right to know what's going on in the Senate. And I also have another complaint concerning Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell. They are supposed to be the voice for the American people, and they are sitting down dormant, not even supporting the American people. And I heard what they said before the president got into office, and they began to say what type of person he is, but apparently they are hushed. And we are supposed to be believers in Christ. And if we are believers in Christ, we are to stand up for truth, because the word of God tells us that a liar will not tarry in his sight. And I am a Christian, and I firmly believe in praying for those in authority. But we have to speak the truth. I don't care what party it is. We are country first. We are God first, country second, and party is third. And I wish the Congress and the senators would stand up and speak truth to power in what's going on in our country, because if not, I'm so sorry to say that. We're going to end up in dictatorship, because I think that's the way our president is trying to go, because they will not hold him accountable for what he's doing. And so I really don't blame the president. I blame Mitch McConnell. I blame Paul Ryan and the senators that is going on and agreeing with everything that our president is doing. And they know they are supposed to be believers also.
So all right.
How can they stand up for all of this that's going on?
All right, Laverne, thanks a lot. Thanks for starting the conversation.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, what do you think about what Laverne said? 813-239-9663. Now, here's an email about that video featuring the head of the FCC, and it says, Ajit is not funny nor clever. He is a whore to Verizon, et al., writes 813. It's unsigned. And 727 writes, if Trump is behind it, there has to be bad news for the little guys. That's somebody from the 727 area code. Let's take some more phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Sean's in St. Petersburg. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How you doing today?
I'm good. What's up?
Well, you know, I heard that commercial, and honestly, I was insulted.
Which commercial? The FCC commissioners?
I'm sorry, but it seems to be more directed at entertaining the people and removing the whole idea that there is an intelligence out there, that we're actually using the internet. Some people use the internet for research and study more than just for entertainment. And it's sad, because it makes me feel like this is what they think of us who are out here, like we're so dumbed down that they can distract us from what's really, really going on by entertaining us.
Yeah, it does seem to dismiss the concerns that that the internet will now be pay as you go. That if you're able to pay the money, you'll get downloads faster. But if you know, and some information will get to you slower if your internet service provider doesn't like that source of information or that company that's providing that information. So it does.
It absolutely. And I'm concerned that now the information that is available to us will no longer be available to us at all, because if they can regulate what we're putting out, you know, what people are talking about, this is like, it's sad, but it's, The internet has become like our greatest form of communication with one another now. People don't talk to each other the way that we used to, but they do on the internet. They won't do face-to-face, but we do it on the internet. You know, even to gather in public, you have to pull a permit. There's, you know, all these rules and regulations to make any kind of change. So it seems to me, lately, in the last, you know, decade, the internet has been a way for us to make changes.
It's a good question. Since the Obama administration instituted net neutrality, do you have any complaints about the internet?
Since Obama didn't? No.
Yeah.
No.
Is it broken, and does it need to be fixed, is what I'm trying to get at, too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's more about control. I mean... Keep us dumbed down and control. But the thing is, again, it's just an insult, because we're not dumb. People are not dumb. It's just that it's like we're all getting our tongues cut out, you know,
okay.
And blinders put
Sean,
on.
Sean, thanks a lot. Thank you for your comment.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you so much for all your shows, everything that you do for our community.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you.
Okay, have a blessed day.
Thanks, you too. If you want to get a copy, I'll send you a copy of the video featuring the FCC commissioner, in which he's making fun of people who are concerned about doing away with net neutrality. All you have to do is email me at dj@wmnf.org. Here's an email that says, and it's from Jack. He says, everyone is aware of the growth in the wealth gap in our country. How could the Republican tax cuts go 63% to the top 1% and widen the gap even further? Trump's speeches on his campaign said he would look out for the working and middle class. You know, I took the time to watch most of President Trump's speech in Pensacola last Friday night. And many times in that speech, he referred to the working class and referred to bringing jobs back to the U.S. and touted his success, his perceived success in doing that. But I do wonder, with this tax bill, is it the workers who are going to be better off? If you work for a living, whether you work at a restaurant or you're a plumber or whether you're an attorney just starting out, are you going to be better off under this tax package? And is now the time to give tax breaks to the super wealthy? I mean, have they been doing poorly over the last 9 years? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Adam writes this, I don't know how anyone thinks Ajit Pai is working for consumers. He used to be a former Verizon lawyer who joked about being a corporate shill for them. Of course, you can still do all those things he said. It's just that eventually companies might be able to change you or slow down certain things, writes Adam. Let's go out. Go back to the phones. You're listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa. Dustin's in St. Petersburg. Hi, Dustin. What's on your mind today? Hey, hello? Dustin, you're on WMNF.
What would you like to say? This is Justin, not Dustin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Justin. Thanks a lot, Justin.
It's all good. I'm out here working, listening to you. This is my first time calling. I really do enjoy your show. And I just wanted to share my opinion. I was listening to the last caller, and I think she hit it right on the nail that, I mean, that commercial was more of a ploy to kind of like ease people's fears. And it's a joke because people with any common sense would laugh that off. And like, you know, this is, it really is. People with intelligence really know and pay attention. Like the reason why this passed is the amount of money getting thrown at the people with power, you know, and they make the decisions. And I don't know if it was seen on Reddit or you guys on Twitter, but there was this graphic with a list of the people who received donations from the communications, you know, the communications industry. And I mean, it's kind of ridiculous that these people who sit back and make decisions like this, they get a lot more money than I do. And they get to choose on how my life is going to go. It's kind of crazy here in America the way it is, but you know, I appreciate the perspectives offered on this show, so thank you, Rob.
All right, Justin, thanks a lot. What do you think the chances are that Ajit Pai goes back to work after leaving the FCC and goes to work for one of the companies he's regulating right now?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean still would have some type of influence on the matter, I'd imagine.
Okay, Justin, thanks a lot.
Hey, no problem.
All right, great to hear from you. And you're listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa. We're just opening the phones and talking about some of the big issues that have been in the news in the last 24 hours, including net neutrality has been big in the news. And I'll send you that video by the head of the FCC if you want to see it. He suggests that there's no reason to be concerned about the disappearance of net neutrality. You can email me at dj@wmnf.org. And Barbara writes this, the future reminds me of the 60s when research facilities had to sign up for the internet for the time, and the department paid hundreds of dollars to get information. That's Barbara's email. Her worst fear, I guess, there. 813-239-9663. Tina's in Tampa. Hi, Tina. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
I'd like to make an observation on the tax bill.
Okay.
It seems to me that not only is this going to, this bill is, the result is going to be a further gap in the equality or inequality, I say, in this country. It also seems like it's like the Republicans want to push our country toward where people are no longer rewarded as employees, where, you know, having a good job meant having nice benefits and decent wages and a chance to, you know, climb up the ladder. Now they're going to make it, they're helping out companies by doing away with that system where people are going to be independent contractors, because in that bill, in one of them, I don't know if it made it through the conference committee, but there's a distinction between tax rates for people who are employees and tax rates for people who are independent contractors. So in the long run, if you're going to get hit with bigger taxes, isn't this kind of pushing people away from that traditional approach, which you know, enhanced job security, which is the thing that all the Trump supporters, you know, were angry that has gone away? The loss of the good jobs with benefits and security. It just seems like it's a huge, I wouldn't call it reform, but it's just a huge change. And I think that there's a lot in there that we don't even know about yet. I mean, most of what I hear, I think, is pretty frightening for the middle class and the lower class. But that's just what we've heard. What about the things we haven't heard? And if it's so great for the public, why are they doing things in such secrecy?
Well, that's a good question, because there really hasn't been a public discussion at all, no committee hearings in the public about what's in this tax bill. And it's being debated right now. But as we heard in that exchange that was from the Washington Post website, those six or seven members of Congress that we heard, it's being railroaded through. There's really not much democratic process on the conference committee.
Well, I'm wondering, is there a way to, since they have to have, it has to be under a certain level, it has to cost less than what is it, $1.5 billion?
There's budget restrictions. It can't blow up the deficit. And if it does increase the deficit, then in the next year there have to be cuts in spending in the federal budget.
That's the thing that they're probably going for. But the thing is, if it does, if people aren't sure, doesn't that give the opponent some leverage to say, wait a minute, you can't vote on this because there's disputes over how much it actually will cost and how much it will blow up the deficit? Because most everything that I read is saying that it will blow up the deficit, not just increase it, but hugely increase it. So doesn't that give them some kind of legal argument to say, no, we have to have the higher threshold for voting? There has to be a greater number of
Tina, there are deficit hawks there in Washington who are conservatives, who are skeptical of the bill. One of those is Bob Corker of Tennessee, a Republican. And so, I think there are people who are very concerned that this tax bill, and we don't really know the entire dimensions of it, but it looks like it's going to add at least $1.4 trillion to the national debt. One thing that's lurking out there, too, there's so many stories to tell about that, but one thing that's lurking out there is that it assumes that the debt will only go up $1.4 trillion if interest rates remain the same. But if interest rates go up, the federal government is going to go deeper and deeper into debt because the Treasury bill interest rate will go up.
And so, they're going up.
It looks like the Federal Reserve is going to raise them in the next few days, but, If interest rates go up, then there's going to be even more ballooning of the deficit, and then they're going to have to cut more programs. And one of the programs that's been identified over and over again that we've talked about here on WMNF is that they're going to look for a way to cut Medicare, as a way to trying to balance or to keep the federal deficit low. So that. That's coming
and I think
right
if
at
that
us.
Comes to that, what they're going to do, how they're going to get away with that is they're going to scare people with a lot of, oh, the deficit is so high. If we don't do this, we're going to lose it entirely. I just think if it passes, I think that that's where we're headed. We're on our way to dismantling any safety net that exists in this country.
All right, Tina, thanks a lot.
I hope Bob Corker and Marco Rubio and others, oppose it.
All right.
Hey, thanks. Great show. Bye.
Thanks a lot. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Gino, who's in Tampa. Hi, Gino. You're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Yes, I would like to say a couple of things. What I don't really understand is, let's say, take the Republican people who voted for Trump And they're just as, or say, less fortunate or poor as many other people. Why are they not screaming and saying anything about that tax bill? Because it's going to affect them just like it affects Democrats, people that didn't vote for it.
Well, and let me just, Gino, to your point, let me just read from Paul Krugman's column, which is out yesterday. He's talking about, the headline on his column is Republicans Despise the Working Class. I'm going to only read one line from it. To your point, this bill would reduce taxes on business owners on average about three times as much as it would reduce taxes on those whose primary source of income is wages or salaries. For highly paid workers, the gap would be even wider, as much as 10 to 1. So if this bill is favoring business owners and workers, it's not favoring. You're right. If you're a Trump supporter and President Trump attracted you because he said he's going to help working class people, how in this bill are you being helped?
Right, exactly. And I can't remember his name. He ran for president last year, and everybody wanted him. I mean, a lot of people wanted him, so they didn't vote for Hillary because they wanted him. What's his name?
Are you talking about Bernie Sanders?
Bernie Sanders. Yeah. He made a statement, I think it was yesterday, when he was saying something about people who have jobs and who have pensions, who worked many years for their pension, and something about their pension being cut by up to somewhere between 40% and 60%. Like me, I'm one of those people who's been out working for many years and who we have a pension at a job. And I didn't understand, I didn't know where that was coming from because I had never heard that before. Can you expound on that? And I hang up and listen if you know anything about that.
Gino, I'm not sure what Bernie was talking about. You know, I did play that speech yesterday. It was about a 17-minute speech. And
yes.
I'm going to have to go back to Senator Sanders' website and see if he explains that portion of the speech.
Right, right. Because okay. That's tragic because that would affect just so many people. There, of course, many jobs have stopped having pensions or have frozen pensions. Or if you're just starting a job, you won't have a pension. Like people just starting to work where I work, they don't have pensions. But people who've been in for a few years, they do.
And Gina, what industry were you in when you got a pension?
I work right now. I'm still in that industry.
Oh, you're okay.
I work for a communications company.
Okay.
We were Verizon at one time.
Yeah.
A lot of us still do have pensions, and people have been retiring. We're at GTE at the beginning in Tampa.
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
Went to GTE from GTE to Verizon, now Frontier. But there's still GTE in places like the Potomac area, which is D.C., and in New Jersey, which I just left on vacation, New Jersey, because that's where I'm originally from, and they're still GTE there. So they still have their pension, but I think it's frozen there also, too.
All right. Gino, thanks a lot. Maybe somebody who's in the union that represents GTE or Verizon or Frontier workers can tell us what the status of their pension is. I know sometimes new owners will come in, buy a company, and then try to loot the pension fund. I know some pension funds have not been fully funded, and there is a danger that some pension funds are going broke. And, it could be that what Bernie Sanders was getting at yesterday is that we should make sure that the guarantee that was given by the company is honored and that the pension funds don't go broke or don't dishonor the workers, the commitment made to the workers. That could be what Bernie Sanders was talking about yesterday. 813-239-9663. Gino, thanks a lot. Let's go to Jeff, who's in Tampa. Hi, Jeff. You're on M&F. What would you like to say?
Yes. I recently read, I think it was in Newsweek, that, in regard to the tax cut, that the Republicans were considering households that made $450,000 a year to be middle class. And I'm kind of thinking maybe this is the basis of them help saying that the tax bill is helping the middle class.
That's how they can claim it's a middle class tax cut. I did read that too. Clearly, that's not.
I mean,
$450,000 is the 1%. If you make
$450,000
a year or over, you're in the 1%, top 1%.
Exactly. So I just don't really understand how they're getting away with this. Like, how do you call the top 1% the middle class and say that you're giving the middle class a tax cut? I'm just kind of dumbfounded by that. As far as the pension funds go, I got to tell you, man, whenever I hear about that, that's just criminal to me, man. I mean, how do you ask a man to work for his whole life for you, tell, you know, make him a promise, and then just take that away? You know, a few years ago, I had a friend of mine whose dad lost his pension in this manner. You know, he worked for this company for 30 years. Was 2 years into his pension, and one day he got a letter and a check that basically was, you know, about twice the size of the normal check he would receive, telling him that the you know, essentially, I guess what they let them do is they let them separate the pension part of the company into another company, and they fold that company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that. I know that happened to coal miners too. Is that they went to work for one company, another company bought them out, and the second company didn't honor the pension. That it had the first company had promised to the coal miners, and that happens in industry over and over again.
And we can thank our elected officials for letting that happen.
Exactly.
So anyway, that's all I have to say.
All right, Jeff. Thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. We start off talking about net neutrality and the video made by the head of the FCC yesterday, or at least it emerged yesterday, sort of making fun of people that were concerned about net neutrality. And we've also been talking about the Republican tax plan in Washington, D.C. We haven't read the details yet. Details are slowly coming out, and it's likely that there will be a vote sometime before Christmas. Senator Rubio is on the fence, so are several other senators. And if you like the Republican tax plan or you hate it, now is a really good time to call your members of Congress and U.S. senators. 813-239-9663 is our phone number here. And let's go to Andy in Dunedin. Hi, Andy. You're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Happy Friday. I'll be brief. Yeah, that audio that you played from the head of the FCC, that was nothing more than the most condescending thumbing of the nose that I've seen in quite a long time. I mean, it just took me back to the marches on Wall Street when you had a lot of the Goldman Sachs employees jeering, you know, at the protesters, and then they were dressing up for Halloween as homeless people. I mean, that was just disgusting. And this guy with the FCC, I mean, he's just a spineless POS as far as I'm concerned. And I hope he's got some bodyguards. That was just terrible.
All right, Andy. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I don't think anybody should ever commit violence, but let's hope that he takes it more seriously than he does in this video. The video is shocking in terms of the way it dismisses concerns that consumers have about net neutrality. And if you want a copy of it, a lot of people are emailing me saying they want a copy of that video. I'll send it to you. Just email me here in the studio, dj@wmnf.org. Here's an anonymous email from 813. It says, Floridians should tell our senators that the tax plan will take away money from housing, health care, and hurricane assistance, and will take away money from a growing, aging population. That's 813's message. Kevin writes this, social Darwinism and disdain for the less fortunate are the New Deal of our present day. The investor class and the uber wealthy are only concerned with their own economic growth. The proof is in the amount of homeless and working poor in our society today. Let me just say something, and this is something that Tina mentioned, is that increasingly we're in a gig economy. Uber drivers and part-time contractors and retail workers. I think the number of retail workers in the U.S. is now 8 million people. It's one of the fastest-growing segments of our economy. But there's a huge problem out there in that a lot of retail stores are heavily leveraged. And you see this all the time where malls are being bought and sold. And I was reading on Bloomberg News just 2 weeks ago that now the bankers and the investor class think that retail is a really bad investment because malls and retail stores are so over leveraged. You just saw, I think, an Australian firm buy one of the big malls here in the Tampa Bay area, or the announcement was made. Well, if you look at the amount of debt that's being held by retail stores, they're hugely in debt. Nordstrom's tried to redo its debt, the Nordstrom family. So right now, Nordstrom is a publicly traded company. And the Nordstrom family said, well, now would be a good time. We're making a lot of money. We're going to take the company private so we can control it and we don't have to answer to shareholders and all that. So they went looking for loans and they found that the best loan that they could get was 13%. And there are a lot of retail stores and a lot of malls that are on the verge of bankruptcy. And part of the reason is that Amazon is growing so fast, and online retail is growing so fast this year. Online retail after Thanksgiving set a new record. So now you've got the prospect of millions and millions of people, most of whom are people of color or women, many of whom head households. You've got the prospect of a collapse of retail here in the U.S. because these stores are over-leveraged, and there's too many stores in the U.S., according to this Bloomberg article, and that we're going to start seeing retail stores close, in part because Amazon is such a fierce competitor and is able to undersell, you know, all those bookstores and clothing stores and shoe stores and everything else that we go to see buy retail on, because more and more people are buying online. So what happens if there is a retail collapse? You know, these jobs already don't pay that much. But what happens when these workers who are barely making ends meet at $8, $9, $10 an hour, $11 an hour, $12 an hour, and as Tina said, no pensions, they're living paycheck to paycheck. What happens when we see retail, which is heavily, heavily in debt, start to go down the tubes? What happens to our country? As more and more people, you know, one of the fastest growing job segments under Governor Rick Scott are the service and retail jobs. He's created a lot of jobs, but a lot of them are in service and retail, a huge fraction of those jobs. So let's take some more phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Patricia, who's in Brandon. Hi, Patricia, you're on. What would you like to say?
Oh, yes, I was listening to a radio program from KPFK, from Pacifica Radio, called Beneath the Surface on Friday the 1st at 5 p.m., and they interviewed Jack Rasmus, who teaches political economy at St. Mary's College in California. And he has written a lot of books. One of them is Epic Recession, A Prelude to Global Depression. And he says that this tax plan relies more on the regulation and tax cuts to subsidize banks and big corporations and multinationals. And so it will not only add $1.4 trillion, it will add $6 trillion to the national debt. And this will set the stage for deeper cuts to public goods like Medicare, Medicaid, and ultimately Social Security. And so he says that the $4.5 trillion, of which are tax cuts, will be given to big corporations, you know, banks, multinationals, and $3 trillion, of which will be paid for by the middle class, will be through by the elimination of deductions, exemptions, and other measures. So 3 million more on taxes will be on the working class in the middle class, and $4.5 trillion cuts for the rich. So he is a very interesting, he's definitely, I like him because he's telling the truth. And he's saying that the U.S. corporations already had in the U.S. $2 trillion saved here in the U.S. that are not being used. And
yeah, you know, I hadn't heard that number. And you may be right. They may be sitting on a pile of cash. They're also sitting on a pile
in the U.S.
Yeah, they're also sitting on a pile of cash overseas, and they're not investing it. They're not because there's no demand. You know, when you pay workers $8, $9, $10 an hour, they can't buy a lot of refrigerators or cars. They can't buy a lot of clothes every week. And when there's no demand, when your middle class is shrinking and the growing sector of jobs are low-wage jobs, those corporations that are sitting on trillions of dollars are not going to invest so that they can sell you a MacBook Pro for $2,000 or whatever it is these days, because there's not enough people that can afford it. We're on the way to a shrinking middle class, and this Republican tax bill doesn't help at all.
Right. So he says, why do we have to give them $1.5 trillion more when they are sitting on nearly $5 trillion?
Yeah,
now,
it's a great question, Patricia. All right, thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. She mentioned KPFA, and that's the station in Berkeley, California. It was the first community radio station in the entire country. Let's go to Nikki in Largo. Hi, Nikki. You're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Hi. We're talking about the decline of retail stores and retail operations.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, Amazon doesn't pay sales tax. Is that correct?
It does in some states. I think that has pretty much changed as attorneys general have gone after Amazon. And I'll have to look, but it used to be that you didn't have to pay sales tax when you bought from Amazon.
Right.
Yesterday, I bought two things online for family at the holiday time, and I had to pay sales tax both times for items that I was sending out of state. So I'm pretty sure Amazon is collecting sales tax. I'll try to look that up as you're talking, Nikki. But I think that's changed somewhat.
Yeah, I thought about that because I know it used to be that you didn't pay sales tax shopping on Amazon, and I haven't heard anything until you just mentioned it. But we could lose a huge amount of dollars in revenue in sales tax if indeed there are still states where you don't pay sales tax to shop online.
All right, now I'm going to go to Wikipedia, and here's the answer. If you trust Wikipedia, it says that many states have passed online shopping sales tax laws designed to compel Amazon and other e-commerce retailers to collect state and local taxes from its customers. Amazon originally collected sales tax only from five states as of 2011, but as of April of this year, collects sales tax from customers in all 45 states that have a state sales tax and Washington, D.C. Alabama is the highest tax rate charged by Amazon. The Alabama tax rate is 8.45%. Amazon does not collect sales tax from Alaska, Delaware, Montana, New Hampshire, and Oregon, since those states do not have state sales tax. So I think that's the answer, and you can find it on Wikipedia. I think that's pretty reliable. At least that answer on Wikipedia is reliable.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. And Nikki, thank you for your phone call. Let's go to Elizabeth in Riverview. Hi, Elizabeth. You're on MNF. What would you like to say?
I was late getting onto your program. I apologize. I don't like to.
Oh, Elizabeth, don't ever be late for this show.
I understand. It's about the only thing that's worth listening to. The programs on WMNF are at this point. And I like I say, I apologize humbly.
I accept your apology, I think.
All right. Let me ask, did I hear you say that President Tweet is still babbling on about bringing jobs back to the U.S.? And
yeah, it is.
And what about his daughters?
Well, that's a good question. In his speech Friday night in Pensacola, he spoke at length about his efforts mm-hmm. to create jobs here in the U.S. and bring jobs back to the U.S., but he didn't mention his daughter's factories overseas, nor did he mention his factories overseas his ties and other things are manufactured.
He's got all kinds of things going overseas. I was just wondering, speaking of Social Security, which was another thing you all have talked about, I've been living on that for 27 years now. I just got notification from dear people at SS that I will get $2 more a month as of the beginning of the year.
Well, what's that going to do for you? Does that get you into extra happy hours? Or
I don't know what it'll do, but that's what they're going to give me.
Well, the party starts tonight, I guess, Elizabeth.
You're right.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, boy, I can really whoop it up, can't I?
All right, Elizabeth, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Jody in Lakeland. Hi, Jody. You're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Yeah, this is Jody. I just want to say that I believe this problem in net neutrality. The central problem is really, in my mind, that we're just getting all too dependent on it now. I'm an older person, and I remember life without the internet, and we were able to survive. As far as personal relationships, people don't talk to each other anymore. I recently retired from school teaching, and I would come into the classroom in the morning and see 20 kids sitting in a circle, nobody talking to anybody, any line person they know, all sitting.
You know, Jody, I think you're right about that. I think we don't talk enough to each other, and our phones and our computers interfere with. I agree with that. But you know, there are some tasks. You know, if you're at work, at least in my line of work, and I think in a lot of people's line of work, computers and the internet make us more productive. And they, you know, if everything worked out right, it would mean that we'd be paid more because. Now I can access things in minutes that it might have taken me a week to access. And so I think you're right. There is a downside to the social side of the internet, but there is an upside, and that is it allows us, the internet allows us to accomplish much more work in a shorter period of time. So I agree with you. I think maybe we should do a show about Facebook and all those things, because there are several people who were former executives inside Facebook who came out this week and talked about the dangers of Facebook and the dangers of social alienation. So I think you're right on that.
Yeah, I agree with that. When I was teaching, all my computer work, my grades, my lesson plans, and most of my communication was on the internet. But when you get to the point where you can't talk to life when there's a human being, because they're talking to the thumbs with somebody they don't even know, or they may not be talking to
it's a problem. Jody, thanks a lot.
I think we're getting too offended on it, and we should try to do as much as we can without a computer.
Okay. All right. Jody, thanks a lot. I think your point about social interaction is really, I agree with that. Let's go to JT, who's in Tampa. Hey, JT, you're on M&F. What would you like to say? JT just hung up on me. Wow. Okay. I'm going to take that personally. Let's go to Albert in Ruskin. Hey, Albert, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. As you know, I'm a conservative, but there's a couple of things I'd like to bring up. First of all, I've given this a lot of thought, but I think a minimum living wage for every man, woman, and child, and they've got a phrase for it, I just can't remember off the top of my head, X number of dollars to everyone. End of story. It's going to be reinvested in the economy anyway.
Yeah, a guaranteed income. Some people call it that, yeah.
And even though I was against universal health care for many years, I always thought that universal health care for children under six, women who are pregnant, prenatal, postnatal, because a healthy child becomes a healthy adult. But over the years, I've come to conclude that I'd rather have an inefficient healthcare system for everyone versus a very efficient healthcare system for the few who could afford it. Now, I can afford exceptional healthcare. I can. But the people around me also need that. And as a citizen, I think it's really important.
Well, Albert, I think you're speaking common sense.
Okay.
I think
that might be one of the rare times for me, but I really think that's important. Rob, thanks again.
All right, Albert. Thanks a lot.
You have a good day.
You too. 813-239-9663. Stay tuned, because in the next hour, Daniel Ruth will be here. And boy, he's got a great show planned. We were talking about it beforehand, and he's going to be... he's fired up. So stick around for Daniel Ruth coming up in the next hour. Thomas in Sarasota writes this: buckle up, people. We need the rebel, because we're in for a bumpy ride. This tax overhaul plan is a plague on the American people. And Matt writes from Spring Hill. He says, want to do something about the right-wing takeover? Go online and join the Alliance of Retired Americans, writes Matt in Spring Hill. And let's go. Let's see. We're going to go to Ernie in Largo. Hey, Ernie, you're on. What would you like to say?
Morning. Just a quickie, because you were talking about all the retail jobs that were coming into the state from Rick Scott.
Yeah.
I read an interesting article online yesterday that showed the top 15 companies in retail across the country are scheduling closing hundreds of their stores next year, including Macy's, Target, JCPenney, Office Depot. The list just goes on and
yeah,
on.
Yeah, and that was my point, is that retail is under siege, especially from Amazon, and it has been a really important part of the growing economy in the last few years, and now retail is on the verge of collapsing, so much so that bankers have identified it, and they're not lending because retail stores are over-leveraged. They're over-mortgaged. And,
exactly, and unfortunately, that's just the GOP mantra of telling fibs or things that aren't quite true. Scott's talking about all these jobs coming in when all these huge retail giants are actually closing.
Yeah, it's a good point, Ernie. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. So if you didn't get in, sorry about that. But if you want to comment about today's show, you can call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play those comments back Monday morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned now for Daniel Ruth. He's coming up next. And thanks to Patty Perkey and Frank Knox, our phone producers today. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori. Have a great weekend.